It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, President Biden is preparing U.S. troops for a possible deployment to Eastern Europe with fears of Russia's possible invasion of Ukraine. We'll take a look at that option and others on the table, as well as America's stake in the conflict. First, last fall, leaders and representatives from social media platforms, including Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, and YouTube, all spent time on Capitol Hill taking questions from lawmakers around the negative impacts of their products on younger users. Congress also heard from a former Facebook data scientist, Francis Haugen, who blew the whistle about internal research showing the company knew its engagement-focused algorithms were harming children, among other socially destructive outcomes, especially on platforms like Instagram. Our next guest was raising these concerns 6 years ago in her book, American Girls. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen your or your children's social media use growing over the last few years? What effects have you seen in them or on yourself? If you were a teen girl over the last few years, if you are one now, what is Instagram in particular like for you? Does it cause stress, anxiety in your life? Do you feel like you grew out of it at some point? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Nancy Jo Sales is a contributing editor to Vanity Fair and regular contributor to The Guardian. She's a New York Times bestselling author whose books include Nothing Personal, My Secret Life in the Dating App Inferno, and American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. Nancy Jo, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Well, I want to go back to 2016. That's when your book came out. You were on this show actually talking about it. A lot of your book was based on conversations with teen girls about their social media use. What kind of things were you hearing from them back then?
Well, unfortunately, everything that they were telling me then is still a problem today. It was everything from addiction. They were reporting being unable to stop using the platforms, to the bullying and cyberbullying that they were experiencing, and the spilling over of cyberbullying into actual bullying in school. The platforms, as we now have confirmed, are designed to reward aggression, which is terrible for children. They were also telling me about the toxic environment of comparison, you know, comparing oneself to pictures of others. The exposure to things that they really were not able to handle at such a young age, including, you know, violence and pornographic imagery. I mean, it just really went on and on. The sort of things like, you know, just right at the time when you're sort of trying to develop yourself and find out who you are, this kind of creation of a fake self and an authentic self online. I mean, it just went on and on. And some of it was really disturbing, including, you know, I was really the first person to write about, I apologize to some of your listeners if this is uncomfortable, but there were and are these things called slut pages where nude, non-consensually nude images of girls would be shared on these pages, on Facebook, on Instagram. Parents typically knew nothing about it, knew nothing about the normalization of sexual harassment. It was just, you know, sexual harassment is just a sort of mode of talking. And it was a very, very controversial book at the time. It did get a lot of exposure, but it also got a lot of pushback from the tech companies, of course, from various people in the media, including some rather big media outlets who said that, you know, accused me of being a Luddite. You just don't get it. You know, you're raising a moral panic. Meanwhile, I was really just reporting what girls were telling me.
I want to bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Megan is with us in La Crosse. Megan, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what did you want to tell us about, Megan?
So I wanted to touch on deleting the Instagram application, actually. I deleted Instagram about 2 years ago, and I'm 21 years old. So for me to do that was kind of a lot because a lot of my friends, you know, use Instagram to connect. But I found that I was comparing myself a lot to people on Instagram, whether it was my peers or influencers. So my mental health was kind of declining in that way. So I just decided to delete it altogether, and I feel a lot better not having it in my life.
Megan, I want to ask, I think probably a lot of people in your position have considered getting off of Instagram, but worried that they're going to lose something. They would lose the positive contact with their circle of friends. They wouldn't keep up with what was going on. What was your experience when you deleted Instagram?
I really found it was kind of hard because a lot of my friends like to send me messages on there, like share posts with me on there. But after a while, I just kind of got used to it, to be honest, and I didn't really miss it at all.
Megan, thank you and your kitten for calling in. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. You found, when you wrote the book, Nancy Joe, and I think people have found since, that reluctance, that I feel like it's bad for me, but getting out of it would be bad for me, too. That's part of the addictive and compulsive nature you found.
Yeah, I think that, the platforms are designed to be addictive. They appeal to our neurological systems with these dopamine spikes you get through the likes. This was very much on purpose, that the way that they were constructed. And it is a very toxic thing to give people a product that you know is going to addict them, especially children. And I applaud anyone who has the ability to get off of these platforms and to say no. And I think that is something that a lot of people say, it's impossible, we can't do it, you know. But I would just, you know, I would love you to read my book, but I would also love you to read a little book, and it's a very slim volume called 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. And it's important to note who this book is by. It's by someone named Jaren Lanier, L-A-N-I-E-R, who is an internet genius. And he's one of the, pioneers of AI. And he himself has seen and has become very alarmed about the destructive nature of these platforms on our society.
Megan, thanks again for calling in at 800-642-1234. Talking about the impact of Instagram and other social media, especially on teen girls. Nancy Jo Sales is with us, author of the book American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your own experiences. Nancy Jo, you were saying a lot of pushback at the time when you wrote this book in 2016, especially, not exclusively, but especially from technology companies. Then last fall, we had this whistleblower information, a lot of data released to the Wall Street Journal, showing that at least researchers within Facebook, owner of Instagram, knew this stuff was happening. What did you think as you started to see their own internal research coming out?
Well, it really looked to me like they were, I can't say this for a fact, but I do know that my book was one of the first to criticize this effect of these platforms on especially teenagers and children. And it all, with the timing of their internal research at Facebook, it almost looked like they read my book or they became aware of the critique that was suddenly going on in the media. I mean, there was a lot written about it. And they said to them, I mean, I can't prove this, but it really looks like they said to themselves, timing wise, well, maybe let's find out if that's true. Are we doing this? You know, it's something that they probably should have asked before they ever launched these things. And in fact, so much of what my book was about was proven by their own internal research. I mean, what they discovered is really only a sliver of what my book is about. It's really just my book, I think, provides still to this day a much more comprehensive look at all of this. But they did see that they were contributing to negative body image among girls, even, I mean, my God, suicidal ideation. And yet they did not release this information. I think that probably, you know, I can't say for sure, but I guess their plan was to do some internal research and prove that I was wrong and that all of this critique was wrong. But they never released any of this data. They never released any of this information. They totally covered it up, which is why a whistleblower had to come along years later. This was 2017 when they did this. My book came out 2016 and reveal it because they owed this knowledge to the public, because up until that point, there had actually been very little research done in the academic world and among, you know, social scientists. There's a lot now. There's a lot. Ever since my book came out, there's just like a deluge of research and information talking about rising depression, problems with loneliness, and again, the suicidal thoughts among children and teenagers who use these products, and adults too, but it affects kids more. But they swept it under the rug, you know, and the comparison has been made before, similarly to what the tobacco companies did when they knew that tobacco could kill you, cigarettes could kill you, and yet they just let people die.
We're talking to journalist and author Nancy Jo Sales. Her books include American Girls, Social Media, and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. We're talking about the impact of social media apps, the effects they have on young women and girls in particular, how they've changed in recent years. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you have a bad experience with Instagram or other social media platform? Are there regulations or restrictions you'd like to see, especially applying to young people? For Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and more. Do you see the government having a role to play here? Do you want more transparency from the owners of these social media platforms? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up the conversation about the impacts of apps like Instagram and Facebook on teenage girls. Nancy Jo Sales is with us, author of the book, American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. Came out in 2016, raising a lot of concerns. Concerns backed up with the leak of internal Facebook research last year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We learned from the whistleblower, Frances Haugen, about Facebook's internal research. I want to listen to an interview on 60 Minutes. She was asked about a couple of these internal studies. More than 13% of teen girls said Instagram made thoughts of suicide worse. 17% of teen girls said Instagram made eating disorders worse. Here's her response.
And what's super tragic is Facebook's own research says, as these young women begin to consume this eating disorder content, they get more and more depressed, and it actually makes them use the app more. And so they end up in this feedback cycle where they hate their bodies more and more. Facebook's own research says it is not just that Instagram is dangerous for teenagers, that it harms teenagers, it's that it is distinctly worse than other forms of social media.
Well, with that cycle, that spiral of harm here, Nancy Jo, do you see any sense of urgency from Congress, from platforms themselves to do something about it?
No, there was a resounding silence when my book came out, and there doesn't seem to be any movement now. I mean, there are people, you know, they periodically haul Mark Zuckerberg before Congress to have an answer to these types of things. And by the way, it's not the only platform on which this is happening, Facebook and Instagram. These aren't the only ones. I teach at a college, and my students, some of my students, young women, were looking into TikTok and what's happening on there, and body image problems and pro eating disorder content are now on TikTok. So it's sort of proliferating everywhere. And are they really taking steps to do anything about it? Not that I have seen. In fact, Instagram came out, you know, right after the Frances Haugen revelations, Instagram came out with a just really pathetic solution, which was that they were going to periodically show users a message that said, hey, do you think you've been on here too long? Maybe take a break. I mean, that is the most cynical thing I can think of. You know, giving people essentially a drug, it's an addictive drug, and saying, hey, have you taken too much heroin? Maybe you want to put down the needle for a little while. I mean, like, that's like the dealer saying that to the user. It's just beyond hypocritical.
Let's go back to our callers now. Bob is with us in Milwaukee. Bob, hi.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking the call. This is a great topic. It's about 15 years too late, but I'm with you. I appreciate that your guest has written the book. I don't see it as particularly a huge revelation, but it, to people that are in the know, but to a lot of people, I think it is. The problem is, just when we need more wisdom and mediation, we got social media, which is neither social nor is it mediated. And it's a real problem because there's no wisdom imparted. There's no expertise to impart any sense of mediation in between users who may or may not know what the heck they're talking about. I've been telling my students for 15 years now, pretty much since the inception of the first social media platforms, to abstain from that because it will not end well. And, you know, maybe not exactly for the same reasons that your author is talking about, but the problem is it's not going to end by appealing to self-regulation. The people who run these companies are making billions of dollars by offering these things. And, you know, you can take it one step further and go to, like, say, hey, I get free email from Google. No, you don't. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
I gotcha. Bob, thanks for the call. Nancy Joe, he says, hey, abstain completely from social media. You mentioned a small book earlier recommending basically the same thing.
Well, I couldn't agree with your caller more in terms of what's really driving all this, which is money. The bottom line is the bottom line, and these tech companies tend to contribute to the campaigns of politicians on both sides of the aisle. I mean, when Trump was in office, Mark Zuckerberg was a friend of Trump. Now he's a friend of Biden. I mean, these guys will, and it mainly is guys who head these companies, they will do whatever they need to do to, you know, ensure their company's profits. And that's really what Frances Haugen confirmed for us, which is that, and I've heard this from, you know, people who reach out to me who work in tech companies too, sort of off the record. They say, look, we want things to change. We are in the ethics department. But every time we raise issues, they always come back to us with engagement. Engagement meaning how much users are on the platforms. The bottom line there is engagement. They just want eyeballs on their screens all the time. And it doesn't matter to them what the fallout is because the business model is use. They just want people using more, more, more. And that's cynical enough when you think about what it does to adults. But when you're talking about young minds, children, you know, and your caller is right also on this score, which is that the misinformation and the disinformation that one finds on Facebook, it's hard enough for adults to distinguish sometimes what's real and what's not. There's no sort of checking or vetting or filters, but it's almost impossible for kids.
Bob, thanks for that call. We're talking to Nancy Joe Sales about social media platforms, the impact they have on everyone, especially young women and girls. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Nancy Joe's the author of the book, American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. Back to your calls now. Peggy is with us in Janesville. Peggy, hi.
Hi. Thank you, Nancy, for that book. I really appreciate that. I wanted to make a comment about TikTok. I was only on for a day or two and quickly realized how dangerous it was. It initially was very funny, and it degraded. The longer I was on it, the almost to pornographic levels. And I thought, well, TikTok is for young people, and how dangerous is that? And I was quite upset and, you know, deleted it. And it got real so bad. It just got so bad.
Peggy, thanks for that call. Nancy Joe, Peggy says she quickly found it was almost a pornographic site. Is that something you've encountered? You were talking about looking at TikTok with your students.
Well, this is, yeah, I mean, TikTok, even on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, there's pornography. And, you know, it was always so surprising to me that people would say that I was raised in a moral panic and that I was, you know, this kind of Miss Grundy, you know, strict school marm type who just didn't want the kids to have their fun. That is ridiculous. There's nothing that says that children should see pornography. I mean, anybody who thinks that, I just don't understand that. And there is no sort of, there's no sort of regulation or filter on any of this content, this pornographic content coming onto these screens. And parents often have no idea really what their children, and sometimes it's really young children, are seeing. I mean, I've interviewed 13-year-olds and younger even who have seen things that they really just shouldn't see. And it's on YouTube. And it's not because we're not quote unquote sex positive. It's because we don't, you know, as a society, we actually have laws that say that children should not consume pornography, and yet they do, and they can on social media. So I agree with her.
Thanks for the call, Peggy. And just our last minute and a half, what solutions do you see? What kind of changes would you hope for at the top of your mind with these issues that go back to your book and beyond?
There has to be government regulation. I mean, there's government regulation of almost every industry to some extent. You know, that, like, industries shouldn't just be able to act willy-nilly and harm people. Once upon a time, there was no regulation of the meat industry, you know, and people were getting sick and dying. It's a problem really comes down to one particular law that's, this is a little wonky, but it's Section 230 of that aspect of internet law that was passed in the late 90s that says that what happens on these platforms, the tech companies cannot be held responsible for what third parties do. And that's really a problem, because that means that third parties, meaning users, anyone out there, can do anything, and these tech companies can never be sued. Well, if you're a company and you have a product, but you can never be sued for anything that happens with your product, then why are you ever, when the bottom line is the bottom line, why are you ever going to take responsibility?
Nancy Jo, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Nancy Jo Sales, contributing editor for Vanity Fair, author of the 2016 book American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. We talked with her about what has and hasn't changed over the years and the ways that social media apps operate and influence teenage girls.